Well, good morning, friends from Church of the Open Door. It is great to be back here. I see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of OGs, original gangsters from the Young Disciples class. I'm a student of Pastor Dr. Daryl Farney. I still remember meeting Daryl after just a couple minutes of meeting him. He said, "Hey, are you available this Sunday?" I said, "Yeah, for what?" He goes, "I wonder if you could help teach a Sunday school class." That's just my fondest memory of Daryl Farney roping me in. But it is a joy to be back here. And for those of you who remember, my wife and I also taught in Lorain County. I worked for juvenile court just down the road in Elyria. And my wife taught at Amherst Middle School. So we have some very fond memories of this place. And a little bit about myself, too. I am a big fan of history. I'm a history buff. But I also love technology. And I love, somehow, when the two come together. And I was reading an article a couple weeks ago thinking of, speaking of history, and just some of the advancements we've made in the last 100 years. Okay, some of them will be funny, but some of them are kind of serious, and some of them are going to tie into how are we a better people spiritually, historically, from the Old to New Testament. But first, a little over 100 years ago, and I was reminded of this too, mentioned I'm from Ohio here, but my mom's family is from Pennsylvania, and we would go there as kids, and I remember one of the homes that we'd go to was my great-great-grandma's home, and I remember it specifically because, talk about advancement, when we would run outside and we're playing, and I'd say, "Hey, Mom, I need to run inside. Where's the bathroom?" My mom would say, "It's right there." I'm like, "What is that?" She goes, "That's the outhouse. That's actually where you go." I'm like, "Go what?" She goes, "Just go and sit in there and you'll figure it out." I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So the advancement of indoor plumbing has made our lives a lot more memorable, a lot more easy. One of those two, similar situation being in Pennsylvania, you know, homework for kids back then was something you did on your home. You worked on your home. But nowadays it's something kids do after school academically. But back then you actually worked on your home. So there's an advancement for your kids. You don't have to work on your home anymore. It's just something you do after school. But, you know, interestingly enough, speaking of advancements, as a society, you know, last week we commemorated Juneteenth. And although in 1863, January 1st, Abraham Lincoln emancipated slavery, abolished slavery, it wasn't until 2 years later, June 19th of 1865, where that was felt in Galveston Bay, Texas, where Union soldiers marched in there and said, "Now you're all free," and 250,000 slaves in Texas were free. I would imagine they'd say this, obviously we commemorate this, this is where our lives became better as a nation, although still terrible injustices happen to this day, but it was a place where we said, we own this. Sadly, even sometimes under the banner of Christianity, that we move beyond this, and Juneteenth is to commemorate that as we've advanced. Another milestone in 100 years, in 1920, women's suffrage won the right to vote in our country just in 1920. Those were advancements we face as a people. Now, closer to home for us, to continue the theme that Jim's been going through, learning to breathe through this book, which I hope this summer you're taking some time to read. I've really enjoyed it and been blessed by it, and much of my content has come from chapter 3. Although it's good to read the whole book, chapter 3 is a good Cliff Notes version of living by the Spirit. But an advancement we have faced, we get to enjoy as believers, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, our Old Testament saints, our brothers and sisters, experience this at times and events. And if you happen to be a prophet, you can enjoy God speaking through you through the Spirit. But for us nowadays, and I'm convinced that we are so much better off than our Old Testament saints, our brothers and sisters, because Jesus told us this. You know, on your notes and your handouts, I might have had the question, who would you rather spend time with? God the Father, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? And Jesus gave us, I think, the answer you'd circle to this question. He said in John 16:7, he says, "You know, it'll be better for you if I leave? Because then the Comforter would come. He would guide you into all truth. He would be the one that convict the world of sin in regard to what is God designed for righteousness. It would be better for you if I leave, because then the Holy Spirit would come. Now, I know some of you, there's probably time when I maybe talk a little too much, and you'd probably say, you know, John, probably good for you to go now. But think of Jesus saying this, something better is coming. And he said to his disciples that if you believe me and you believe this Holy Spirit that would come inside and dwell in you, he says, you will do even greater things than I've done. In John 14, 12, he says this, you'll even do greater things than me. So our lives are better with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised it when he says, I will go and leave, but I will send my Comforter. Now, we can read that and we could hear about it, but for now, sometimes, you know, let's be honest. We can live our faith kind of cognitively and intellectually, and the Apostle Paul tells us we can squelch the Holy Spirit, we can miss it. We can lie to the Holy Spirit in words that he says. And there's even a time, you guys, we can be guilty of putting out the Spirit's fire. So this morning, I want to introduce again, who is this Holy Spirit? What does he do? What are the benefits? How are we as a people more advanced from our Old Testament brothers and sisters till now because we have the Holy Spirit? So much to the point that, as we define this, it'll show us what our purpose is. Now, I'm always cautious in a group of my peers like this. If you mention the Holy Spirit like three or four times in two or three sentences, people are like, you're one of those guys. You're a little different kind of person in the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, I think Jesus was really making a point that something was really about to change. And that something is about to change in our lives. And I hope that we would visit afresh and new this morning, because the Holy Spirit is a realm. It's a realm that encompasses God's presence, even in a voice. It's a realm that displays his power, and it's a realm that displays his purpose for our lives. That's the Holy Spirit. It's a realm, it's a conviction, it's a voice you hear. So much to the point, a few years back, I read a book called You're Crazy If You Don't Talk to Yourself. And believe it or not, that book was about the Holy Spirit, about lies we believe and declarations we can say because we have the promised Holy Spirit, someone indwelling inside us. So would you pray with me to ask the Lord to be present here with us, that we'd learn from him and learn afresh and new something about the Holy Spirit? Let me pray for our time. Father, thank you for your goodness this morning, that just as we woke up, brand new is your love and your faithfulness and your compassion. And Lord, as the hymn writer says, if these weren't so, we would be consumed. Thank you for your Spirit, your indwelling presence, power, and purpose in our lives. Father, would you open our hearts and minds that we would receive you this morning, receive you fresh and new, and that we'd walk away transformed because we've had an encounter with your Holy Spirit. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, friends, just to show really how dependent we are, and I love Jim's title to the book here, Learning to Breathe. So I want to ask all of you as I gear up my notes here. Now I have a son in the military who's special forces, who's been practicing this, but just to show you how dependent we are, I want to ask all of you right now to take a breath and hold it. Don't breathe. I'm going to be watching you to see who can go the longest. Don't breathe through your nose. If you're tempted to cheat, hold your nose. All right, take a breath right now. All right, I can keep talking. See how long you can go. I'm looking out to see you. See if I hear any gasps yet, or if there's any potential Navy SEALs out there that can hold it for 3 or 4 minutes. Okay, breathe in. Look how dependent we are. If God were not a giver, we wouldn't be alive. And he says this, that we can breathe in the Holy Spirit and find life in that. Now, this is so much of a trait who we are, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at Romans 8 here, that he equates it to having life or death. And you know, last year alone, this is how important to us to really find out our identity and some of God's purpose. Last year alone, one out of every seven of you, 15%, almost 50 million Americans did this test. They took a DNA test. It was either Ancestry.com or 23andMe, because we want to find out who we are, where we came from, and maybe explain some of our mannerisms, why we do the things we do. Now, I haven't taken one of these tests, but I do know from our family tree, I'm just an Eastern European mix of German, Hess, Slovak, and some Bataglia, some Italian. But you know, did you ever notice that you could be like 10% Italian and you act like you're 110% Italian? What is it about that ethnicity? You talk with your hands, you're vibrant. If you're Italian, you think rules are for other people, you know? And I know I've probably already offended some people in the crowd. Just think of me as Pastor Jim. If you have any complaints, just type them to Jim. But we're desperately in search of who we are. And it's reflective that our lives are really void without the Holy Spirit. And so much so that, you know, David cried out in Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence, O Lord? If I go to the mountains, you're there. If I make myself in the depths of despair and darkness, even in darkness will be light to you. So there's a sense of God's presence always being with us, but he leaves us the option in love to be as close to him as we want to be. But now he reciprocates with an indwelling spirit to find out who our identity is, just as we search for our own, maybe ethnic identity. So let's find out what this presence is and power and purpose. Let's all turn to Romans 8 and find out what the Apostle Paul said about God's Spirit to us. I'm going to break this up into three sections on God's presence, power, and purpose in our lives. And for the first one, I'm going to read Romans 8, starting at verse 5, and I'll read down to verse 10. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even your body is subject to death because of sin. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So friends, I want to draw your attention to some pretty bold words here the Apostle Paul uses, that the mindset on what the flesh desires leads to death. But the mind governed by the Spirit can lead to life and peace. You know, we don't like to think of death or thoughts of death, but this is kind of what our flesh is capable of, and what will allow to be in control of the thoughts we have. And just for a moment, I know this doesn't happen to many of you, but maybe think of your friends. You can't do any elbowing up here, I'll be able to see. It seems like the best fights usually happen right before church, don't they? You're coming here early, you can blame someone, kids fighting. You know, and if we track sometimes with our thoughts, what death thoughts can mean is we let sin kind of go unchecked in our lives. God promises here you could have the mind of Christ. You know, in a later book, you know, Paul says, but God has given us the mind of Christ, and this is a mind controlled by the Spirit. But, you know, just to reflect back on this, having a mindset, you know, the word in the Greek, the phrase mindset, just kind of meant what direction were you headed? So when you have these thoughts, what could be the end game? And never before in our culture have our young people, and I'm going to throw all of you in there because you all look young, have we wrestled with mental health? And I know there's a place, so much so that it affects our body chemistry, it becomes psychosomatic. We need to see a professional, and sometimes we even need medication. That's a medical fact. But there's also some space in here that this really is a spiritual battle going on with our minds. And the Apostle Paul said our flesh, our carnal man, that we carry, our bodies carry around with us, are going to launch at us, along with the world, some very unwholesome thoughts. And if we follow these thoughts where it says, set your mind, it can lead to death. And some of those, you know, here's a recent deathful thought. You know, my wife and I, we've been doing some traveling. We served in the Middle East, and we still go back to visit friends. So this season around, we left our daughter in charge of watching Malik, taking our dog for a walk. And she did. She did just that. Now, we're from Colorado, which is a very dog-friendly place. We're in the mountains. We're like, everything and everyone's free. You wouldn't want to put your dog on a leash. But just as a courtesy to our neighbors, we do carry our leash around. And on one of these occasions, Ellie had it with her. She's walking the dog. And our dog, Malik, ran up to another dog, very kind, like his owner, just barking to say hello. But this neighbor didn't really think that was a kind gesture. And the neighbor from across the way, our little open space, pulls out some pepper spray, mace, and sprays our dog. And my daughter's freaking out. Remember, she's got like a little bit of Italian in her from me. What are you doing? Runs over and yelling. So the guy accidentally moved the pepper spray away from Ellie and accidentally sprayed my daughter. And I'm, you know, she calls me on WhatsApp. Liz and I are overseas, and I'm just busting at the seams. Wait till I get home. Wait till I find out who this guy is. So the week goes by, and I get home, and I'm like, Ellie, where does this guy live? We're in the backyard. Show me where his apartment. Well, Dad, I know. I watched him walk into there. I was so mad. I was crying. I had all this pepper spray in my eyes. I was freaking out. Our dog, we didn't know what to do, and you weren't around, and he needs to go to the vet. And anyway, so she's telling me this. I'm just conjuring all these things in my mind. So I have this little phrase up here on the notes. It says, sin left unchecked leads to temporary insanity. So you know what I was thinking when I get home? I'm going to find out where this guy is, and I'm already rehearsing these scenarios. Remember, mindset, direction, where you're going. I'm rehearsing these scenarios. You know, I'm sizing him up. I wonder if I could take this guy. If I could beat him up. You know, he wasn't as big as Pierce or as good-looking as Pierce. But I'm like, what if I could just take this guy? But fortunately, that day, I was listening to the Holy Spirit say, you know, is this life and peace? And I had a choice right there. Am I going to yield my flesh to the Spirit? Because I really was thinking, what if I beat this guy up? And, you know, here I am, minister and Pastor Jim, you remember that's my name. And what if this happens again? What if I get arrested? And then it really started going south. And I said, you know what? I just stopped. And I said, no, I'm going to listen to the Spirit. And, you know, we're going to get to the place where there, along with God's Spirit, there is a power along with presence. Where he was able, well, he is able. I was willing to listen and say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to change. And God brought life in that moment. Because you know how I knew he brought life? Here's where I was setting my mind and some of my thoughts and deeds were going. I kept saying this, you know, my friend, I am so sorry we didn't have our dog on a leash and he came up and scared you. So much my daughter said, Dad, no, don't say that. What about like threatening him? I'm like, honey, I just feel like God doesn't want me to do that. We were in the wrong. But I know at that moment, that was not my own ability. Somehow the Holy Spirit whispered that in my ear because he's present, and I chose to listen, and he gave me life. Now, I hate to think, even though I've entertained it a little bit, I just hate to think of what death could be. And some of these thoughts, I want you to write something down, some type of thought you're wrestling with. Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it judgmental spirit? Is something that's going on in your world? And just to back up a little bit on those words, you know what worry is a lot? Worry sometimes for me is a failure to understand God. Because I would trust him more. Depression, you know, as I mentioned, Liz and I served overseas for 10 years. We came back to America. We just feel like no one cared about who we were or what we did. And I finally could sympathize with my friends who wrestle with depression. Because depression really is sometimes not the chemical stuff in our bodies, the psychosomatic, the stuff in my head that leads to depression really is, God, you got it wrong. And anxiety is, God, you might get it wrong. And it all stems from not having the mind of Christ. And God promises right here in his spirit, the mind of Christ are a few things. It's the knowledge, wisdom, and thoughts of God as revealed in the scripture and by the Holy Spirit. The great thing about God giving us his tangible written word, 40 different authors, period of 1,500 years in three different languages, but one consistent theme, God reconciling mankind to himself. And now through the Holy Spirit, so everything I read, every feeling I have, I can take to this book because the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. So what an advancement already that we have in here that God says, I will give you the mind of Christ. And Paul later in 1 Corinthians 2, he says to us, like, who's known the mind of the Lord that anyone would instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ that we can understand what God has fully given us. There are so many things going on in our world, especially for, I feel, our young people that are confusing. But God in the Holy Spirit takes us from a place of confusing to this, that you can understand what God has freely given you. So this morning, whose mind are you using more often? Whose mind are you thinking with? The mind of the flesh or the mind controlled by the Holy Spirit? If our mind is controlled by the Holy Spirit, I want to let you in on a little power that he offers to us. So I'm going to read down from I'll start at verse 11 down to 13. So along with the presence, God has given us his power. And he says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have no obligation. We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You know, this passage here in verse 12, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh. You know, growing up on the west side of Cleveland, some of you may have discovered this wonderful pizza place on Sprague and Stearns Road. It's called Barbarino's Pizza. So our family owned that growing up to the time I was 16 years old. And then due to some health struggles, my dad had a heart attack. And I remember being in the doctor's office with him, and the prognosis was, Norm, you need to sell the business or drastically change your lifestyle. So my dad chose to sell the business, Barbarino's Pizza. But under the caveat of the new owner, my dad would stay on for 6 months as an acting manager to teach all the recipes and help manage the staff. So at the end of that 6 months, I remember I was 16 years old, and my dad, remember the little bit of Italian that's in us, he would still go in to the business that he sold, and he would tell the employees what to do. And I specifically remember John Donovan, good family friend. He was kind of the manager of the place, head pizza baker. My dad was telling him how to like take the pizza out. This one looks burr and this one looks undercooked. And I remember John said to my dad, he said, "Norm, we don't have to listen to you anymore. You don't own this place." Now, something I hear in our culture a lot is this phrase, "I'm done with that," which also can mean I'm done with you, I'm done with this marriage, I'm done trying. But you know, with the Spirit in us, we can't say that. We're under no obligation to give in to the flesh where it has control over us. We're no longer under that control. And just as John Donovan said to my dad, "You don't own this place," we may verbally, audibly have to say, "You know, Lord, I'm owned by you. I'm obligated." It's a word in the King James that meant indebted. "I'm only indebted to you, Lord. I am not indebted to our enemy." And you know what our enemy speaks to us? He speaks lies. We don't even talk about that enough because you know what? We're so used to believing it. We hear lies all the time. "I'm not good enough. I'm jealous of someone else. I can't do it. I'm done here." I just think even if the world who didn't come to faith, they would even try out some of the things of the Holy Spirit, they'd be so attracted to it. I think our culture is begging so much to see life in the Spirit really lived out. And we are in desperate needs, friends. And just look at us as a people. You know, as I just talked about some of these advancements, you know, this summer I started reading through the Pentateuch. I'm on Leviticus now. But what really struck me is my second time through Genesis. Only into chapter 4, 4 chapters in, I know Noah and others. I mean, we're talking still 900 years within 6 chapters. But by chapter 4, Cain was already jealous of his brother Abel. He was jealous that he gave a better sacrifice. It wasn't so much better, but Abel just followed what the Lord wanted as a sacrifice. And you know, you look at, think of this phrase I had up here, that sin left unchecked leads to temporary insanity. We all know what happened, the story of Cain and Abel. It's almost folklore if you haven't read the Bible yet. Cain, by chapter 4 of Genesis, Cain killed his older brother out of jealousy. That's where some of our thoughts go, you guys. Thoughts affect our minds, they become behaviors, then they turn into actions. But just as we just did that quick little model of take a breath and breathe, God can rescue us from that. And one of his methods that he's given us, what a wonderful gift, in the Holy Spirit. So just as I ask you to write down, what is that thought that's leading to death? Think of Cain and Abel. If I let my mind become like this and set my mind on something, sometimes we're so set in our ways, it becomes dangerous. So from this, God's presence, his voice, this same power that we just read, and this power, the Apostle Paul says, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So since we can't say I'm done anymore, but we come to a point where, you know what, I have to have a miraculous, life-changing event in me, and you know what, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Not only we'll see later does he transform us into the image of Christ, but he's given each one of us a unique power to say, you know what, I can get through this. And, you know, speaking of getting through stuff, I mean, I think some of the most deep spiritual encounters I've had as friends who've gone through 12-step programs, when they acknowledge, you know, as they go through the 12 steps, the number one, I acknowledge there's a higher power, it's God, and I need him to change. I mean, that's all of us saying, I need a miraculous power. And to be honest, you know, I got plenty of friends who are still on the journey to faith, and I always ask them this, I don't know how you're making it. Sometimes I don't know how they're making it through their marriage. I don't know how they're making it with their kids. And all the dysfunctions show up. Remember when I just said worry is kind of our failure to understand God? Dysfunctions are just that sign that, man, we don't really understand the power of God, how it changes. And you know what? We all got dysfunctions. None of us are going to be perfect. But you know what? Somehow on display, if you see that power to change, it'll cause people to question. Because we all long for that, just in how we search for our ethnicity, just as long as we search so much for how can the advancement of human nature happen. God is saying that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we do say and we yield, I'm going to set myself up, and, you know, kind of just think of it this way. If the word in here, set your mind, is a direction you're going, psychologists tell us it takes 21 days to develop a habit. Whatever you wrote down, I want to give yourself at least, let's trust our psychologists, our God-given science, that it takes that much time to set your mind on things above, to set your heart on things above, that you would see a transformative change in your life. So God's presence, God's power is the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, I want to look at this closing section here, Romans 14 down to 17. And this is God's purpose, but he also gives us a new identity in who we are. Let me read this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed you share in his sufferings in order that you may share in his glory. So on the slide here, I'm sure this vehicle will look familiar to you no matter what age you are. So who could shout out, what vehicle is this? That is the Volkswagen Beetle, founded by who? What country gave us this wonderful? Our German friends in 1938. Now, what's unique about this vehicle, if you ever had one, it's definitely not the reliability. I mean, more people say you spend more time under them, fixing them, than you do in them. And my buddy had one. I learned to drive stick shift. Well, I mostly ground up his gears, but I didn't really learn how to drive stick shift. But what's unique about this car around the world is its shape. It's known by its style. It's a uniqueness. Now, why I put it up here is because of this. When you really allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of your life, and you've set your mind on the, you have the mind of Christ, and you're walking in the Spirit, something will happen to you. Your spouse will see it. Your best buddy will see it. Your dorm mate, your work, your fellow colleagues on campus or in the work world. They're going to see something take shape in you because this is what the Holy Spirit does. It's not just more head knowledge. He says, one, he adopts us as sons and daughters, so we become his children. And with that, we're co-heirs with Christ. We actually inherit something and change. There will be a spirit in you, it says in this passage, that cries out, Abba, Father. Now, something in your day, something at work, getting close to the world, you're going to come into conflict with it. That's what we do sometimes when we walk in the Spirit, because what the Spirit desires for us is so different than what the world wants, that we would cry out, Dad, Abba, Father. Now, as I mentioned, growing up in the West Side, having a dad who grew up in that environment and worked pretty much 10 to 10, didn't have the best relationship with pops till later in life when my dad came to Christ. But I'd even share that with him here. But you know what? I still, even when things, my dad and I patched things up, there was still a longing there that all of us have that only the Spirit can give us. And you know what? I want to encourage you, if you've been coming here a long time, I've met some of you since I've been here since I was 13, 14, as I mentioned, some of you, the OGs. You may have been coming here and you still, I don't know if I have that mind of Christ, John. I don't have that power. I don't feel that freedom in the Spirit. And I certainly don't cry out, Father, Dad, I love you. You know, as I mentioned, I worked over at Lorraine Court and I got to know Judge Buzinski really well. In fact, he knew when I was coming out with the Navigators, he told me all about him studying to be a priest. And we actually became very good friends. And I had a Bible study over at work there. But I remember I asked Judge B, I said, Judge, and we worked with juvenile kids. I said, Judge, how do you know when a young person's just gone astray or they're just not going to make it? He said, John, when I don't see a young person cry in my presence, I worry about them. And you know what? I think of us. Does my heart cry out like it says in here? The Spirit will cry out, Abba, Father, because this world just doesn't have anything that I really desire. anymore. And we just need to come to terms with that and think of all the things we do to fill our lives with satisfaction. Even preparing to come out here. All right, Lord, what do I want to watch? Chosen, streaming series, won't mention the name. This. And I was like, what would I fill my life watching that for? And as you get closer to the Holy Spirit, something will cry out in you, Abba, Father. Something will change in your makeup, in your new identity. And so much so, like, look at the end of the chapter here, this verse, about suffering. Sometimes part of what we become co-heir to is suffering in order that God's glory might be displayed in us. So here's the positive side of that suffering. It gives glory to God, but also it reveals Christ in us, which is glorious. There's something about all of you, believe it or not, is glorious. And your spouse may go, wow, it's when we yield to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think of glorious this way, that this would show up in your life, because glory is always in the God camp. I want you to think of this phrase, PDA. Yes, it's public display of affection. When we're out with our kids, if I hold Liz's hand or give her a kiss, my daughter will go, Dad, no PDA. But you know, here, you can have PDA here. What it is, it's a public display of the Almighty in your life. And you'll have that, and you'll have it in such an intimate way, I may never know. Because God said in there, I will dwell with you. No longer the Old Testament, I'm with you with a cloud and a pillar. No longer during Jesus' day in the Gospels where Jesus is with us. Now I'm actually in you. I'm inside you. I dwell with you. You know, as I mentioned, I lived in the Middle East, and one of the unique things about the Middle East is we lived in Beirut, Lebanon. If you've ever been there, there are absolutely no driving laws, which I kind of like. But in the midst of the chaos, it just kind of works. I don't think I ever saw an accident. No road rage. People just drive crazy. And then lo and behold, when I moved back here in 2014, after driving in that culture, living in another place, living in this different culture affects us. How do you think I drove when we moved back? I got pulled over 6 times in 6 months. I got all of them except for one. I was honest. I actually told the officer, I said, Officer, I'm sorry, I lived overseas for, 10 years. And I'm just not used to laws. He goes, okay, can I have your driver's license, please? No mercy. So where you live, the culture you live in really affects you. Now Jesus says, he uses the word dwell. I live with you. We all know when someone's in our home. So I want to ask you, where are you with Christ? Is he an acquaintance? Is he really taking up residence in you? And if he is, you'll know by the Spirit he gives you. He'll transform you. And I want to leave you with a couple tools here. How do we get close to the Spirit? But before we do, talk about, here's one guy who didn't get that. So New York Times best-selling author, and I looked at this book here, The Year of Living Biblically. Okay, so obviously, he probably parked it in Leviticus for a while because he was dressing like a Levitical priest, grew the beard out, had the whole wardrobe. He would, of course, from New York, so he would walk through New York City, of course, with his coffee, but also he carried stones in his pocket. This is actually in the book, and he would throw it at people who were sinning. He'd stone them. Of course, they threw the stones back at him, good New Yorkers that they are. But what was really sad, after the year of living biblically, he came to this conclusion. But in the end, I never did convert and make the leap of faith or believe in Jesus. I just accepted the ethical principles of the Bible. My conclusion is he never really had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Jesus even warned in John 5, you can diligently study the scriptures, but not come to him for life. And that's what they did. They refused to come to him. So I want to encourage you to get to know the Spirit better by reading his word on a regular basis. Get together with some people, not a small group Bible study, but share in the Navigators what we call like your quiet time, your devotion with God. And here's my kind of barometer on how much to read. Read till you get something. Jesus said that he had come, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy in John 10. But John 10:10 says, I have come that they would have life and life to the full. So reading his word does give you life, which is basically just anything new. So read till you get something. Then secondly, pray this way. Pray that God would give you breakthrough prayers. You know, as David was facing the Philistines in 2 Samuel 5, he said, Lord, you see my enemies before me. Go before me, Lord, and stop them. And then David gives this area a name where God answered in a breakthrough prayer. David calls it Bel-Perazim, the God who breaks through. So reading that and praying over God's promises, I pray specifically for breakthrough prayers. That gives you the encounter of not only God's presence, but his power in the Holy Spirit. And then third, have a shared experience with the Holy Spirit. You know, and by that I mean, whatever you read, just do it, regardless of what the culture says. Live out what the Spirit whispers in your ear. And I'll never forget this as much, how to apply this. When we lived overseas, we didn't have many sports fields. I couldn't get into football and baseball with my kids. No, we could with soccer, the real football, my kids tell me. But so we signed our boys up specifically for taekwondo. And Sam, every time he'd practice, he goes, Dad, after practice, Dad, can I practice some of these moves on you? And so he's only 10. I'd say, okay, and I'd kneel down. And I remember one specific time he learned how to do roundhouse kicks. And you guys, if you were up closer, my nose is crooked right here, and it's almost the shape of my son's heel. And he did. He roundhouse kicked me, broke my nose, bleeding. I had to go to the hospital, and big fork in my nose and popped it out. I almost passed out from that. But what Sam was doing, he was practicing what he had learned. And the scriptures tell us, don't merely listen to the word, but do what it says. The man who looks intently into the law and just walks away and forgets what he looks like is less than someone who's changed from it. So my third application of getting to know the Spirit is have a shared experience where you see and feel God showing up in your life. It's his presence and his power, and it's his purpose in our lives. And I do want to leave you with, give yourself 21 days to develop one of these habits. Now, I brought Jim's book. I know you guys are kind of going through this, learning to breathe. Get into a small group and discuss how God's using this in your lives, because I just really do sense that God wants us to have a revival of understanding what is this great gift that he gave us, so much so that he said, it would be better for you if I leave, because then the counselor would show up, the comforter. Can I pray for our time? Heavenly Father, thank you that we echo the words of David. Lord, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I go from your presence? Lord, if I run to the heights, you're there. If I go to the lowest depths of heartache, you can be there. And Lord, too, we ask you to search us. Know our hearts. See if there's any anxious thoughts in us, Father. And would you lead us to a way that's everlasting? And Father, for some of us, the Spirit is such an overlooked thing that we just don't even quite get. Thank you, Lord, with your word this morning, that we actually can have your mind to understand what you've freely given us. And Father, I pray specifically for anyone in the room who hasn't come to know you yet, that this would be the day that I said, Lord, I'm going to respond to your Spirit, come to faith in you, and Lord, I long for you to dwell in my heart. And equally, Father, if we haven't yielded our mind to you, I pray that you'd restore us to having the mind of Christ, heal up past wounds, and that we would take you up on your offer with the Spirit. We cry out, Abba, Father, we are your children. In Jesus' name.